one more time, every hand raised, believing that God is here this morning.
We are standing.
Oh, just worship and praise Him now.
On holy ground.
Let everything else fade away.
And I know that there are angels all around.
Do you believe that today? Hallelujah, Lord.
Let us pray.
Heads together. That place softly, please. Heavenly Father, thank you again for bringing us all here safely this morning. We think of all the things that could happen to us, all the things that should happen to us, and all the things we would have happened to us if we had our choice. But we're so happy to know that we have a loving God and Savior who watches over our lives, who leads us and guides us into the ways of green pasture, Lord, where in ourselves we'd walk through the deserts, but Lord, you know better and you love us. And we're so happy today to know that when we tried to walk the way of sin, a hand of love went out and reached for us and brought us back to the fold. We're happy to know that you're our shepherd today, that you're our lover, Lord, that you're our Lord and Savior. We're so happy to know you. And I pray, Lord, for this service this afternoon, that if there's one soul here who doesn't know you in that way, they think you're a God afar off, may they recognize that God lives right in the hearts of each of His children. Help each one here, Lord, I pray that Satan's strongholds be torn down, that you'll be glorified in each life, and we'll be able to give you the praise with all our hearts. Commit the service into your hands now, in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may open your Bibles this morning with me. You have them. Praise the living God. Don't be afraid to worship the Lord this morning. If you hear something good, I don't mind a soft amen's all right, but I don't mind a loud one either. Just worship the Lord with all your heart. That's why we came. How many came here for that purpose?
Yes, Lord. Amen.
You may come for social reasons because you didn't have enough friends. You want to come with some. You came to the wrong church anyways. You ain't got too many to pick from. I'm sure you go down the street, you can find thousands of friends. But I got one friend I came to church to see. That was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because I believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I desire to see from Him, if I desire to hear from Him, He promised He would.
Amen.
And I believe He's the same right now, and I'm glad to know the message of the hour told us the same thing.
Amen.
Don't got to look high, don't got to look low, don't got to look wide or deep or far away. He's right in you.
Amen.
We're in a group of believers this morning.
Yes, we are.
Amen. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4. Good to have each one here this morning. Should say afternoon, but you think it's Sunday morning, but you know how our church a little later. Everybody else usually. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. You there? Can you say amen for
amen.
Me? Thank you. And He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is that your desire today?
Amen.
That you could look in the mirror and you'd be so dead to yourself, so away from your own thinking, that you can literally look there in the mirror of God's Word and see Jesus Christ living in your heart the same as when He was here on earth.
Amen.
Say, is that possible, Brother Andrew? Well, the Bible said it was. That's why we're under the ministry, because that's what the ministry came to do for us. Amen. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. And just verse 1 there. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all, I love that word all, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
May God add the blessing to the reading of His word. You may be seated this afternoon. I was preaching the last few Sundays here. How many actually, we'll just say that for a minute. How many appreciated Wednesday night service?
Amen.
Brother Colin coming and an end time message to meet an end time need. And how many people look at the message and say, well, that's 50 years old. That can't do nothing for me today. Well, you didn't hear the message. You might have heard a message denomination, but I actually heard the message. I heard the voice behind the voice, and that was from God Himself. And when God says something, it's good for all time and eternity because it's always existed. People look at the Bible that way. If you realize that, step back for a minute and look at the Bible through an unbeliever's eyes. It's a book over 2,000 years old. How in the world could that apply to 2014? But a believer doesn't look at it carnally. He's got his mind in the Spirit to be able to recognize this is not some word that some man put down one day because he got bored or had a good story. This is literally the Word of God.
Amen.
And the Bible declares that the Word of God is not a textbook. It is God. Because God's Word and Him are one and the same. And we're here to know and find out where we are out in the Word. You know, there was a day and age where we had to guess, we had to probe, we had to think, you know, am I... What am I as a Christian? What does that mean? But not in this day. There's no room for ignorance anymore. God has sent the fullness of His power and the fullness of His Spirit. And I can't help but believe when I look around at the mass people that claim to adhere to this message. Come on now. Somebody hear me today. When they come and claim that they believe this and you look for the power of God and it's nowhere to be found. When you look for people that can live the straight gospel narrow way and it seems so hard for so many. I hate to believe it. I don't think you heard the message of the hour just yet.
Amen.
You heard another voice somewhere that might have sounded like Brother Branham, might have sounded like Jesus Christ, but it wasn't.
Amen.
Because anything that'll take you away from the life of God is Antichrist.
Amen.
We didn't come to receive a dead word, we came to receive the Word.
Amen.
The source of all life, the eternal life that never started, never can end, never can diminish in power or authority.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's true.
Hallelujah. I'm happy to be a Christian.
Amen.
I'm happy to believe in the grace of God. Can
Amen.
I go that route for a little? For by grace are we saved through faith.
Amen.
And that, guess what, brother, sister, that's a little legalist. It ain't nothing to do with you. It wasn't by yourself, but it was given because it's the grace of God. It's the gift of God.
Amen.
And aren't you glad the message of the hour came to pull back everything in our experience, to pull all the things that we saw. We go, oh my, yeah, the Lord changed me here, and I appreciate that. Oh, the Lord healed me there. The Lord delivered me, and He began to pull the layers back. Why? 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 And then down on the very inside, you begin to realize, there's a seed in me.
Amen. Woo! Amen.
There's something in me that I didn't have anything to do with. That's why I can believe. Other people read the same Bible I do. They read the same message. They hear the same text. But it doesn't live. They don't have it. And I'm just on the same. If the Word doesn't live in you, it's not time to point the fingers around and say, well, if this preacher preached, if that person loved me right, if that church did this, it's not time to do that. It's the time to find a mirror and says, does this Word live in me?
Amen.
I'm so baffled when people go, well, what's a real Christian? I don't think Jesus stuttered when He said, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
We want the signs of a believer. Go read Mark 16 and measure up your life.
That's right.
Hallelujah. All free today. Didn't even tell you my title just yet. Preaching on church order, and we have the last few weeks here. If you didn't get last Sunday, and you consider this your church home, I would highly appreciate if you'd get that sermon. I can make it for you, or you go online and listen. I preached last week on the purpose of a pastor, and I think that's very very important for you to understand what your pastor believes a pastor is. Because you might have a different thought, you might have a different angle on it, and if that clashes, then we got trouble. But if you know where a man stands, then you can understand, you can cope with him, you can come to terms. And there's okay when it comes to these little bitty things here and there. And I ain't talking about the Word now, I'm talking about things that, oh, you say this way, you talk this way, you're this loud, I kind of like to preach in this way. We can lay all that aside for a minute and say, that's fine. We can disagree on that. I don't mind disagreeing on anything. If you don't think you like guitars, you'd rather have piano in here, that's fine. I don't mind. You can have that conviction, but I ain't interested. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my stance on the Word of God for what a pastor is ordained to be and what he has to be. If you look at the qualifications we talked last week, it didn't say if a man desire the office of the bishop, it's a good idea that he is this, this, and this, and this. It said he must be. He must be blameless. He must be the husband of one wife, without reproach, without rebuke, and all those things that we went through last week. I don't want to preach that again. But if you go get that, please, or listen to it online so you understand where I stand as individual. Where I mean, with all my heart, I trust, you understand, I'm not trying to bring my own idea about it. I'm bringing it right out of the Word and right out of the message of the hour. Amen. The week before that, I think most of y'all were here. We preached on the doctrine of the Lord. And how many was glad to figure out what that really was? Amen. It's not a code of conduct. It's not a church manual. It is literally the person of God. That is our doctrine, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That the same God that came in a body of flesh the first time is here right now in bodies of flesh. Amen. And what the Spirit says, let us have ears to hear what He has to say, or else we're just deceiving ourselves and we're wasting our time.
Sure.
And don't forget, now, when the angel said that, there were seven stars in his hands. And he told you what the seven stars were. He said, these are the seven messengers. These are the seven spirits of God sent to every age. So I hate to break it to you. If you don't believe Brother Brandon was the voice of this age, you'll never hear from the Spirit, because he's the link between the Spirit of God and the people of God.
That's right.
I didn't say he was an intercessor. He was a man used by the Spirit of God, but that was the vessel he chose. It was the star in his hand. And he was very clear. These are the seven messengers to the seven churches.
Right.
People get offended by things like that, but look, that's the only way it's going to be. God don't send a message, God don't send a prophet to waste time and to tickle people's ears. When he sent Noah, he had a purpose. You need to get in the ark or you will die.
Right.
That's why he sent Noah. Noah wasn't better than any other man. Noah didn't esteem himself. He wasn't highly qualified.
Right.
You can tell that right after what happened when he got off the ark. Went off and get drunk, didn't he?
Yep.
This goes to show that a man needs to realize he's picked from God, picked by God for God.
Amen.
God, aren't you glad he didn't look at you or me and try to find qualifications before he picked us? He looked in himself and found, like we said before, he found a seed of faith that he put in each believer that's here that has received the Holy Ghost. What was the Holy Ghost given for? To show you and I. It was a sign. It was a seal. It was a stamp of approval. You're mine.
Amen.
That's what
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is given for. It's not there for us to play around with. It's not there for us to just feel good and, oh, the presence of the Lord, oh, it just makes, it tickles my heart, it tickles my feelings. That's not what the presence of God was sent for. It's that Jesus Christ can prove the resurrection was true.
Amen.
And if you're not, if that's not your goal as a Christian, quit wasting your time. You must love God with all your heart. If you don't and you're religious in any way, you haven't been born again yet.
Amen.
You're living in a legalistic frame that is Nicolaitanism. It's denominationalism. You'll never have the victory in Christ.
Amen.
But if you can one time, and I mean that, one time.
Amen.
Tell me where Paul received the Holy Ghost a second time.
Never.
Tell me where Peter received it a second time. One time.
Amen.
You get sincere enough with God to realize that you need an atonement, and you need to die, and you need somebody to resurrect you.
Amen.
Because really, if you live in sin, guess what the Bible already said? You're already dead.
Amen.
So if you're living in sin, there ain't no, you can try to pretend like you're living. You're not. You're dead. And you need to recognize, reckon yourself dead, but alive in Him.
Amen.
Is that what we just read there? The ministry, what was it sent for? To bring the church, including the minister himself, to bring the church to grow up into Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To where the same image, the same God, He still lives. How many believes that today?
Amen.
I think He deserves a little praise, don't you? I think He deserves a little adoration for what He's done for us. And to think what He, every day in, day out, how many times have you failed Him? How many times have I failed Him? And still the hand of love never leaves us.
Amen.
How many things has God got to do to shake us to know that we're the elect of God? When you could have been walking in some blind thing, doing this, going, I don't know what to believe. We could be in Trinitarian doctrine, don't know who to pray to. Maybe we got to pray on Mondays to the Son, Tuesdays to the Father, Wednesdays to the Holy Ghost. You say that's crazy, but people do that.
Amen.
Trying to put the Trinity together in their head, they can't do it because it's not in the Bible. There's one God.
Amen.
And His Son, Jesus Christ, was God made man.
Amen.
And there's no more to the story besides in that man was a woman.
Amen.
In Him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we all know that there's only one form of eternal life. There's only one thing eternal. And that's God Himself. So for things to have eternal properties, they must come from him.
Amen.
And not just allowed to exist by his power, but they must literally be an outpouring of himself.
Sure.
Saying, is the earth that? The earth's eternal? Absolutely it is. It was the word of God came out and it formed the habitation for the people of God to live
in. Amen. Exactly.
And isn't just that amazing? Has anybody ever studied the earth by any chance of how precise it is that life exists here?
Yep.
How precise it was made? You know what? They said, oh my, that was just, man, what a streak of luck, right? What a run. My, everything just hit right on every time. It's like winning the lottery a million times in a row for this thing to work out right. Aren't you glad that you don't believe such foolishness? You know it was of God who orchestrated his hands. And every little detail was fashioned for one purpose. His bride.
Exactly. Amen.
And until the day you finally recognize, or actually, until the day God speaks and you see you're the elect of God, you'll never live to your potential.
Amen.
And that's what I came to preach this morning. That whole 15 minutes was all free. I want to preach an active laity.
Come on. Oh, my.
And this is the church. This is the order of this church here, at least, is that the laity, if you believe what I'm preaching up here, you do not just sit there and occupy a pew seat.
Right.
You are fully integral part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And you say, my, I just sit here and take care of my kids. You are an integral part of Christ. If you're not sitting there, we don't get the results we would if you were.
Right.
And not just sitting there warming the seat up, sitting there in the Spirit of God,
right,
desiring to hear from God, letting the world fade away. Don't bring your unbelief in here. We'll just have to cast it out to even get started.
Right.
Keep that nonsense out the door. I'll say this. I understand you struggle. I understand you go through things. I understand the devil lies and tells us stuff, and we accept it once in a while. But when you walk in that door, it needs to drop and die.
Amen.
Before you get in here. Brother Branham services, you know, an unbeliever, they knew better than to walk into that presence with sin in their life. And if there was any day they made it right, it was that second right there before they got in there. Because look, even the prophet of God could not discern something under the blood.
That's right.
Amen.
Have you found yourself under the blood yet?
Amen.
Or do you still think, oh my, he saw me do that, he saw me do that, he saw me do that. And if you're living in sin, chances are he did.
Yes.
But a born-again Christian doesn't live in sin.
Amen.
He might fall, he might stumble, but he's going a certain direction.
Amen.
It's a lot different than heading this route. It don't matter how you tumble this way. You're going the wrong way.
Right.
But if you're heading the gospel, the straight and narrow way, yeah, Satan might knock you this way, knock you this way, but there's something that drives. Who is it? It's not something. It's someone.
Amen.
The life of God is pulling from the life of God in you, and it's pulling one step closer each time. Can you visualize that? Heaven's dropping and we're raising.
Amen.
Every day. You say, oh, I just prayed 10 minutes. That was another step.
Yes.
Amen.
I just interceded for that brother over there and the Holy Ghost. That was one more.
Amen.
This is the body. It's got to all come together. An active laity must believe that before the rapture can ever happen.
Amen.
There can be ministers all over the world that believe the gospel, but if the body does it, we're not going anywhere.
Nope. Amen.
We'll say the ministry, the hands of the minister, right? The hands of God, the fivefold ministry. There you go. You got five fingers. What good do my hands do to pick up that phone over there if my feet won't get moving?
Right.
Brother Branham said one time, you know, Christ is the head and we're the body. He said, but sometimes the head is connected to a piece of concrete.
Yeah.
What good does it do for the Spirit to speak and speak? And he does. You go listen to a real called man, even in denominations, God speaks.
Amen.
Why doesn't it produce? Because the body's dead.
Right.
The lifeline's been cut off, and all you have to do is take the word and disbelieve one little bit of it.
That's right.
When the Bible says, be holy as he is holy, you got to take that home.
Amen.
And saying, I don't want to live with any bit of sin in my life, even if it gets there. You know, the only reason you break fellowship with God is because you don't repent.
Amen.
You hold on to it. You justify it. You say, well, God, you understand. Yeah, he understands that he already died 2,000 years ago, that you don't have to have this in your life. Why won't you accept that? That's what he understands.
Right. Amen.
He doesn't pat us on the back and say, well, I know you're trying, but you just disbelieve in the word. Tell me the time he did that to the apostles. He didn't treat his laity that way.
Amen.
If you find two groups that Jesus is the hardest on, it's the Pharisees, the old religious cranks anyhow, and his own disciples.
Amen.
He looked Peter in the face and said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Amen.
And we'll look at a man of God that gets anointed by the Spirit and goes right down your life. And you think, oh my, he's just saying that because he knows me.
He's just saying that because he went on Facebook and checked what I said last week. Sometimes I hate that stuff because Satan can so get in there. Because information is, it's readily available. My, you can figure out anything you want anymore. You know, if you just have my name, you can figure out where I live, what my phone number is, how much money, where my account probably is, and where I go to eat, you know, and all. You can figure all that stuff out because we're in information age. And what is that given? What is Satan trying to do? He's trying to deafen the voice of God, the supernatural voice that can tell somebody something they don't know.
Right, amen.
You know how I prepare for a message? I get on my knees. You say, that's a little old-fashioned. I don't care. I don't. You show me where Brother Branham said, oh, yeah, every time I went to preach, I just studied hours and hours and hours. You can find where he said, I went out in the woods and I sat and waited.
Amen.
And then I heard something. You know, and he'll just demonstrate 2 + 2 = 4. Or I think it's 2 × 2. And it's just this little thing. It's, oh, yeah, yeah. And then you begin to listen. It gets louder. It gets louder. He said, 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2. And then finally the revelation drops. That's what he wants me to say. And to be honest, once that happens, you're kind of just ready to preach at that point. I got the inspiration of this back on Friday, you know. Come on, when's Sunday getting here? When's Sunday getting here? I'm tired of holding on to this. I'm ready to give it to the children of God. How many knows that you're a part of the body?
Amen.
And that without you, I'm nothing. Without me, you're nothing. Without each other, we're nothing.
Amen.
And without him, he said it, without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse, let me just read that again, Ephesians 4:16. Listen closely. From whom? Actually, let me read 15 and then 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. And we've hit on that. Is everybody here? We are growing. We're not just growing just because. We're growing literally into Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is our Father and we are one with him. Hallelujah. From whom, or may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And as we preached last week about a real pastor isn't the head of the church. Christ is the head of the entire body of Christ.
Amen.
And he ordains the office, and again, go ahead and go listen to that, of why he ordains a man to do that. He's trying to get you to realize you've got to believe what he said. God, it wasn't the pastors went out, they were sent out.
Amen.
God told them, that's one of them. We'll get to all the rest of them here in a minute. He sends prophets, apostles, and I'm sorry, he still sends them.
Amen.
If you're offended by that, that's fine. But he said, look, in the days of Paul, I understand he was the prophet of that age, but Agabus was still there.
That's right.
And guess what? Agabus one time came to Paul and rebuked him in a prophecy. Remember, he wanted to go to Jerusalem. And what did he do? He took his girdle off and put it around his hands and said, this is what they'll do to the man that goes to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely the truth. But I'm sure Agabus in his own mind would have thought, you're not supposed to go, Paul. But what did Paul say? Why are you breaking my heart?
Yeah.
Don't you know that I'm ready to die for Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And they let him go. Remember, they tried to convince him, don't go, don't go. And I'm sure Agabus is one of them. Look at the Lord just told you. You're going to be bound. They're going to kill you. Don't go. Something in Paul. I'm sorry. Remember, it was read there about 1 Kings 13. Everybody remember that with the prophet? The one prophet was told by the will of the Lord, don't go down that place, don't eat, go home. Another prophet came and said, but an angel told me to come to my house. And the Bible says he lied.
Right.
And he listened to that prophet. The same prophet turned around and cursed him and said, because you didn't obey the voice that God told you the first time, you're going to die on the way home.
Right.
And the lion came out and killed him. Supernaturally, because the lion sat by his carcass, and I believe there was a lamb or a goat set next to it, and he didn't attack any man or the goat or anything. He was sent to kill one man for his disobedience.
Right. Amen.
Say, my, that's crazy. Guess what? If God tells you something, you do it.
Amen.
If God tells you something, as long as, again, don't run it by the word. If it contradicts the word, don't do that at all. You're going to cheat, lie, and steal. Say that God told you to. No, he didn't. You tell me you're going to whine, complain, and God told you to. No, he didn't. He already provided for all of our needs. He doesn't want us to wallow around in the pity party. He wants us to raise in victory and say, though he slay me, yet I trust him.
Amen.
How many of you got the government coming to come cut your head off one of these days? And you just had a brother say, thus saith the Lord, you go down there, you're going to die. So I happened to Paul, but guess what? He was so convinced. He was absolutely 100% sure that he was saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and it was time to go home.
Amen.
Where when they went to chop his head off, what did he say? Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
People trying to get the victory, trying to get the victory, trying to be happy, trying to live. How are you going to get it? Through Jesus Christ. He never wants us to go and overcome all by ourselves, because guess what? You can't do it.
Amen.
Say, I'm a Holy Ghost filled believer. You need to trust the Holy Ghost to overcome.
Amen.
That's why he gave it to you.
Amen.
And if a church has received the Holy Ghost, it should make us an active, powerful house of God.
Hallelujah.
A laity that doesn't sin. I'm just going to read it now. We're going to go. Look what Brother Branham says in the Church Age book. And I've read this before, but I'm going to read it again. Paul saw it coming. This is the Ephesian Church Age. Listen closely. But he warned about them, about this subtle priesthood that would come and take over with its false doctrines. He knew they would implement a way of worship that excluded the people from any part in a Holy Spirit ministry.
Come on, amen.
Woo. And even right today, among those who claim to be free and full of the Spirit, there is not too much freedom in the laity. And the best we can see is a few preachers with inspired preaching, while the flock just sits there and tries to absorb it.
Come on.
This is a far cry from Paul, who said that when all,
come on,
when all came together, let's just stop there. How about you just come to church? When all come together. He didn't say, the one person, you're too spiritual, you don't need to be here. Or even come in early to make sure we're in the Spirit before we get here. Oh, no, you're the exception. You're always in the Spirit. Don't you know that? See how you can take something that is true and run the wrong way with it. That's all Satan wants. That's all Satan wants.
Sure.
I'll read another quote here in a minute, but let me finish this. This is a far cry from Paul, who said that when all came together, listen to this, take this home, take this right now in this service, all had the leading of the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Say, well, I don't speak in tongues. How do you know that?
Maybe you do, and you're afraid. Come on.
Say, Brother Andrew, how do you know that? I've been there. I've been scared to death to do that. And to be honest, this day, in myself, I am. Anytime that stuff happens, even Wednesday night, I was terrified. Until he takes over.
Right.
If you'll just be a vessel right before, if you'll just fight off that fear long enough, all of a sudden faith just kicks in, and here it comes. There's more than just speaking in tongues, too. We all need the leading of the Spirit.
Amen.
Prophecy, interpretation, gifts of healing. I believe there's still gifts of healing.
Amen.
Sure.
One, just Brother Branham, in the Bible specifically says gifts of healing, which means there's different ways it can happen.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a certain way. But the other ones are certain gifts that are given. Speaking in tongues is you're going to speak in tongues. You're going to speak in a different language. It's a message to the church. That's what that gift's for. But gifts of healing, some people lay hands on. Some people can just intercede. Some people can do it right in the service and be led by the Spirit. Go put your hands on this person and you'll be God.
Yes.
You say, oh my, that's the leading of the Spirit that we need in the Church of God, and that's what's hindered it so far. Every laity's been taught, sit there and wait for the minister to do something about it.
Uh-huh.
That's not what the Bible taught. That's not what Paul taught. That's not what any gospel minister teaches. If the Spirit tells you to do something, you do it.
Yeah.
Say, well, I'm out of order. No, you're not. If you're led by the Spirit, it'll be perfectly in order.
Amen.
I'm not going to talk about the nine gifts today. We'll hit on it a little bit, but we should know that they should be in every single assembly.
Right. Amen.
All nine. Not
Amen.
Just eight.
Nope.
Not just two that we like. All nine gifts should be in the assembly. Wisdom, prophecy, knowledge, healing, faith, miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Always ready to see some miracles. Maybe it's you.
Amen.
Maybe it's you that's got the gift, but you've been taught so long. Oh, just sit there. Wait for the minister to do it. Oh, you just sit there. You're not a deacon. You can't do those things. What will they think of you, sister? Look at you. Look at how proud you are because you're doing so. Get that nonsense out of your brain. If you love the Lord with all your heart, you ain't going to try to make some show out of it. You want God to be glorified.
Amen.
That's how you know if you're walking in the will of God. What's your purpose behind it?
Right.
And next week, the Lord willing, we'll put all these things in order so you know, we don't just spout off. The Spirit don't just create a bunch of confusion either.
No.
But at the same time, it doesn't always go by the way we think it should.
Right.
You know what church order is for? And that's why I've been going through this the way I have. Church order is to get the most that God has for us.
Amen.
It's to get into the Spirit of God to where we actually all believe it.
Amen.
With all that we have, we can raise up and realize there should not be one sickness in this place.
That's
when
right.
We leave. Saying every service?
Every service.
And even if God lets us go through the trial, and I know He does. He lets us go through things here and there. But if you're really in that atmosphere, you'll be like Paul. He told me, His grace is sufficient.
Amen.
And one of these days, I'll be out of this thing. Brother Branham had to deal with his stomach trouble his whole life. But look, he didn't plan on keeping it when he left.
Amen.
I'm pretty sure Paul's thorn in the flesh, whatever that was, he dropped it when he gave into his glorified body.
Amen.
That's really the healing we're all looking for. And if you're a Christian, look, you're not looking for it. You're waiting for this to keep growing.
Amen.
Do you understand what will cause the rapture is that the bride is ready, and that puts it 100% on you and I's shoulders.
Amen.
Not God holding back the raptures. Everybody thinks that, oh, he's just waiting on this. He's waiting on this. No, he's waiting on you.
Amen.
He's waiting on me. He's waiting for the church to be an active laity.
Amen.
One that can take the spirit they've received and not just sit it in a corner. As Brother Collins said, you don't take your bushel and put it under a bushel. You take your candle and sit under a bushel, do you? It should be shining forth. We're not messageites either. You shouldn't be afraid to talk to somebody just because they don't believe the message of the hour.
Why?
I've already told you about the student who saw my face turn into Jesus Christ's face. Isn't that right? I didn't have to worry about testifying after that. They saw it.
Amen.
And that's all you look in the Bible. How did they explain the gospel? Yeah, I believe you can watch Paul. He goes and tries to talk to the Jews time in, time out. Tell me one time it really worked out for him. They were running him out there trying to kill him and all these things. But the deputy wanted to see God.
That's right.
That created a need. How many was here Wednesday? How many created a need there, didn't it? And God doesn't disappoint.
Right.
People are just too afraid to ask him because they don't really believe he's who he is.
Right.
He's kind of God, you know. He kind of loves me. He'll kind of let supernatural things happen. But, you know, it's got to work through this channel like this and this and this. And you can't find none of that in the Word.
Right.
There's certain people I know, oh my, you know you're healed when you feel that cool sensation come down. No, you're not. And you know what? Satan will give that to you, just trick you.
Right.
Oh yeah, you're healed. Look at that. Don't you feel them chill bumps? Now, I like chill bumps. I believe God gives chill bumps. Somebody said glory bumps. I call them glory bumps. Glory bumps. And oh, absolutely. And I love it. It feels good. But I ain't going to base something just off that if it contradicts with the Word.
Amen.
See, you ever heard that quote, the Holy Ghost without sensation is one of the mysteries of the hour?
Come on.
Did you hear what I just said? And here's what it gets interpreted. The Holy Ghost without an experience.
That's right.
That's what people are really trying to say. You know, you don't got to shout or scream. And, you know, you can progressively receive the Holy Ghost. No, there was a day where I died.
Amen.
And Christ rose.
Amen.
And we understand you're born again. A little baby. That's nothing wrong with that. Just grow.
Amen.
Don't stay a baby.
Right.
Something wrong with a person that stays a baby for their whole life.
Right.
And I've worked with them before. I worked at Ponderosa where I'm the 17-year-old, and I'm like, dude, come on. This ain't that bad. Just crying, complaining. Oh, it's just, you went to work. Boo, boo, boo. Well, there's a curb. You go out there, and you make some money. God have mercy. Isn't that right?
Sure.
Well, I'm glad you're a Christian.
Amen.
Say, why am I here doing this, 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 this? Well, if you're a Christian, just step back and say, well, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Then I'm walking hand in hand with you. Because if you can really believe that, and I mean really, truly, put your whole confidence that God has orchestrated everything in your life.
Sure.
None of it's happening by chance. None of it happened because somebody did this or that and that, blah, blah. It's all for you. It's for good.
Amen.
Because we're the elect of God.
Amen.
Yeah, to the sinner, it's not going to be too good for him.
Right.
That ain't God's choice, though. He chose it.
Right.
But aren't you glad the reason you could even choose him was that he first chose you?
Glory to God.
Why can you love Christ? What does the Bible say? Because he first loved you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We ain't getting nowhere, are we? Praise God. How many's hearing from the Spirit of God today?
Yes, Jesus.
That makes me feel good when you say that. How many knows this ain't Brother Andrew's notes? Hallelujah. I don't mind if it is my notes. You got faith that even God can speak through notes too? Is that all right? Sometimes we go too far the other way. You know, sometimes if God can tell me something, I'm going to preach a few days before it gets here. Maybe not every little detail, but he told me one thing. And even sitting back there, I'm going to share with you in a minute. He specifically told me, I dropped the message book out of my bag. Wasn't going to preach out. He told me, pick it up and read page 12. We'll do that here in a minute. When I read that, I just about lost it. But you know how that is. When you get all bubbling up, inspired, just feel good. You just want to walk through that wall right now, don't you? You know what it is? That little down payment of a glorified body. Because that's
Amen.
What Jesus did.
Yes, he did.
Whatever he wanted, he was just there. Didn't worry about time, space, and all these things that we're so concerned with. He raised up a dimension. Isn't that right? Remember, we talk about a little 2D world here, little piece of paper man. He just lives right here, but I can come all around here.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a clue what I'm doing, but I can be right there next to him. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And that's where the Lord is. He's just a few dimensions, actually. We know what the next one is. He's a little few higher than that. And you get right through you.
Yes, sir.
You ever thought about how the Lord could do surgery on somebody and not even have to cut you open? Just like that. You remember a little flat man here, just that little eagle? He's just pictured there. Imagine that's his insides. Look, you just take your hand in there, take that little disease out, throw it to the wayside. Don't even got to make an incision.
That's right.
Glory to God. When you see this laser surgery, how many have seen that? Where they can point a laser and attack it from all different angles and it doesn't cause any trouble except to the disease itself. That's what the Holy Spirit's like. Except it doesn't do anything else. It just zeroed in right there to the disease.
Amen.
Because what's the disease itself? It ain't just a mass. It's a being.
Amen.
Look, if you believe there's a God, there's devils.
Right.
You can't pick one and choose the other. No, there's real devils and they're real things.
Uh-huh.
They're not just thoughts either. When you hear thoughts, you got to recognize. Just go ahead and picture that. Every time you get a thought that's bad or lustful or greedy or any of that kind of stuff, just imagine what Brother Branham saw when that woman got delivered, that little bat thing that had strings hanging down from that. That's what's talking to you right now. Right. I think you'll stop listening.
Right.
Instead of thinking that he looks like Satan, you know how he disguises. He ain't an angel of light now. You don't be deceived. He pretends he's an angel of light.
Right.
He looks like it, but if you can really see what he, I bet he's a monster. When we really discover who he is.
Right.
I understand everybody wants a devil ain't a pitchfork coming, but remember he's a master of disguise too. So what he really is, we don't know. But we do know when we finally see it, we're going to go, you're the one? You're the one I fought with day in and day out? That little guy down there? Oh, do you believe that today? Or you got this great big devil and just a little bitty Jesus over here. And oh my, Mr. Devil, oh look at all these troubles. Jesus, help me. No. Guess I'll just have to bear it.
No.
Hallelujah. Not to the Christian now. Now the world, exactly. If you're fighting your own strength, that's exactly the truth.
That's right.
Them devils 15 feet tall and your little scrawny man can't do nothing, can't even pick your own self up.
Right.
But if you get Jesus in you, it'll be just little ants on the wall.
Amen.
Anytime you want to go squash one, go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. Let's keep reading here. Remember what I just read there? It said, the best we can see is a few preachers with inspired preaching while the flock just sits there and tries to absorb it. This is a far cry from Paul, who said that when all came together, all had the leading of the Spirit. Now that's first. When you walk in here, you should know the Lord's telling you. He's leading you what to do.
Amen.
The Lord doesn't lead us to think about football in the house of God.
Right.
The leading of the Spirit don't tell us to think about the job while we're in the house of God. Doesn't tell us to think about the house and worry about this trouble here. No, that's all the enemy.
Right.
If you recognize that, that's all the enemy. Trying to get you to not hear the voice of God.
Amen.
As Brother Branham said, those little thoughts that, oh, I'm tired today. Oh, he's just going too long today. You know what Brother Branham said? That was legions of devils.
Uh-huh.
Legions, which are thousands that say those kind of things.
Sure.
Because the little one that make people crazy and jump around and act insane, those are little devils. Because you can see those.
Right.
You can pick those out pretty easy. You find someone that, I believe Brother Branham's a prophet. Ooh, man, this is coming down home fast, isn't it? Hope you know this is the Lord trying to tell us something today. Yeah, oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't that what Judas did? Just kind of floated right in there. Oh, sure, I believe God's still here. Let's pray. But let's make sure they give a good offering before they leave. God have mercy on a poor soul like that. You know what Jesus had to say about Judas? It would have been better for you had you never been born. When you look around in the world, it is a heartbreaking thing to think of millions, billions maybe. That's the end. That's the end for them. Not because God desired, because they did.
Amen.
When Christ died, as I've read in the Bible, he died for, he said, our sins and the sins of the whole world. And every single person was potentially saved right then. How many knows that?
Right, amen.
Every single sin was accounted for. He didn't leave anything out.
Right.
He paid for Cain's sin.
Amen.
Does everybody understand? He paid for Balaam's sin. The problem is, he knew they'd turn it down.
Right.
What can you do? If you owe $1 million to somebody and I have it, I say, here, I'll give it to you. Go pay it off. And you say, no, I don't want it. What can I do? He's tied my hands.
Yes, amen.
And how do you tie the hands of God? That already preached. Just unbelief. That's it. The battle's two sources. It's unbelief and faith. That's all it is. Everything else stems from that. Everything stems from that. The whole perfect man that we just, that whole statured perfect man, if you go look it up, what's the first thing? Faith. And faith must be given. It cannot be earned.
Right.
It is a gift of God.
Right. Amen.
But that gift, remember Brother Colin said this Wednesday, that gift was given to us, and we're accountable for what we do with it.
Amen.
You say, how do you do things for God? You know what you do with the thing you've been given? Step aside and let that work.
Amen.
As Moses, take the shoes off and let God walk in. See, it sounds so easy, but I guarantee it right now, it's the hardest thing for you to do.
Amen.
Just imagine driving your car, and this is how faith works now. You're driving your car, and God says, take your hands off. I'll drive. You can't see his hands. You can't feel his hands. You can't smell them. You can't taste them. But you know they're there. That's faith.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I believe it was a Peregrine. Did you tell me that, sister? Peregrine had that happen one time where God drove him the whole way home. And guess where he drove him at? On the ski limit.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
That was a free one. Let me finish that quote. Paul said that when all came together, all had the leading of the Spirit. How many believes that today?
Amen.
How many is being led by the Spirit right now?
Right.
You say, how do I know? Because I'm worshiping God.
Amen.
And that's what the Spirit wants me to do.
Amen.
I should have just read the next part. And all, A-double-L. How many is part of all today? Can you raise your hand, please?
Amen.
Everybody part of all. Praise the Lord. All participated in spiritual worship. Come on, come on. You say, well, I'm not the amen corner. Yeah, you are. Guess where the amen corners are? Every one of you. Who's the hallelujah man? I can't wait till finally the Church of God gets to the place where there isn't an amen corner guy, because everybody's the amen corner guy.
Amen.
Where there isn't one person, oh, that's the miracle man. No, he lives in all of us.
Amen.
And that'll keep the big I's and little U's and keep it all where it's supposed to be when people believe the word for themselves.
Amen.
And stop having both ends of it where a people want to raise a man up and he loves it.
Yeah.
Did you hear me now? Raise him up and he loves the attention and he wants it. And you all stay down there and leave me up here. Ah, feels great.
Amen.
And it can go the other way too.
Sure.
Where we want to be little out here. I don't like it because, yeah, guess what? The gifts of Spirit are a huge responsibility. That's why most people can't get into them.
Right.
Because God can't trust people with it.
Right.
Make a mockery out of things. We'll get it. Remember Elisha now. Now, we're just preaching today. I don't know what, but we're just preaching today, and I hope you receive it from God. Elisha the prophet, ordained of God, he had the power or the authority to be a prophet. He got made fun of one time, and look what happened. A man who didn't have the Holy Ghost just yet, and I believe that's the only reason he got that far. He might have been tempted, but I believe had he been able to be born again, he'd have cast it aside before he cursed 42 children with 2 she-bears that came out of the woods and slain them all.
Right.
You see why the gifts of God can't just go any old way.
That's right.
And as we just said, it can go the other way too, where the people want to worship the man. Exalt him to a position that God didn't call him to be. And I feel bad for the man. That happened to Brother Branham. Does anybody understand? He didn't want that. He said, when you make me Christ, you've made me the Antichrist.
Amen.
Don't do that.
Amen.
Any minister of God would say the same thing. You don't fear a man. You fear the God that's speaking through the man.
Amen.
And not fear like we think, trembling fear. You respect him. You give him your utmost reverence to God. That's really the fear of the Lord to a Christian.
Amen.
Because we already know, perfect love casts out torment fear.
Amen.
It's gone.
Amen.
And if you still got that flowing about, guess what? Get back in the love of God and watch it float away.
Right, amen.
Because really, when you break it down, do you understand that you're not really afraid of the devil? You're afraid of God's judgment.
Right.
Has anybody figured that out yet? When you do something wrong, I'm not really worried about the devil getting on me. I'm thinking, God saw that. The one that I'm even, the only reason I'm existing right now is his grace and mercy to me. And look what I just did to him.
Right.
That's what makes me fear him. In the right way. Now, I already said that. Hallelujah. But when we all come together, we get here, we have the leading of the Spirit, and we all participate in spiritual worship. And not just old carnal. And you can have formal worship on both ends. You can have cold formal worship. Absolutely. Wherever. Oh, just singing a song. Wait for it to get over. And you can have crazy worship where, oh, we just got to throw our hands up. Everybody go on. Everybody run the aisles. You know, that's just what we do. And in the message, that hasn't happened too often, but I've seen it before. I've seen fanaticism on that end. Not a lot, but it's true. It's still true nonetheless. I'll be honest, both message churches, you ain't got to worry about it. There's so many frozen, chosen, can't get nowhere kind of people when they go to worship the Lord that I don't think we got to worry about that just yet.
Right.
Let's just get a little looser in the spirit first.
Amen.
If we catch a little wildfire, I'm glad we got fire instead of being cold and dead and God can't do nothing and he can't move in my heart. I can't cry. I can't shout. I can't praise God. I can't say amen. I'd much rather you just go crazy with it than to sit there and die.
Amen.
Because guess what? Something that don't move, you already know what that is. It's dead. It's dead. You say, oh, brother, come on, you're getting on me. I ain't getting on nobody. That's the truth.
Amen.
Don't take one part of the word. Take it all.
Amen.
Say, well, I don't get it. It's good anyhow. Just eat it down.
Amen.
Lord, come and rebuke you right down, left to right, up and down. Just eat it. It's good.
Sure.
If you're a Christian, just soak it down. I don't care if it hurts. When it's all said and done, it's a lot better than what the devil had to give you.
Amen.
So what does the devil give you? Oh, my, it's that nice ice cream cake. It's just so delectable and good. It just tastes so wonderful. But the second it hits your old stomach, what does it do? It starts eating it from the inside out.
Right.
And don't you experience that every time?
Yeah.
Look at something you should.
Sure.
You're listening to something you should. Do something you shouldn't have. Didn't do something you should have.
Right.
Every time you feel that. And it might feel good in the old flesh. Remember what Paul Collins said Wednesday? When the Spirit comes, the flesh does not profit at all.
Right.
The Bible says nothing. Well, if God delivers me, I should feel good. Not necessarily.
Right.
You might have to bear it for a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to see if you'll really believe. We think, you see what I'm saying? We think we're delivered because, oh, I feel tingling. Oh, I just feel good and happy and fresh and free. Not necessarily. Sometimes you got to hold that cross and just stand there.
Yes.
Amen.
And that's what the Bible said, when you've done all therefore,
right,
stand.
Amen.
And just don't move off the word now.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me keep reading. We're going to try to get somewhere here now. And the church corporate has never learned this lesson from the scripture nor from history. Every time, listen carefully, every time God gives a visitation of the Holy Spirit and people get free, after a while, they bind themselves right back into the very thing they came out of.
Right.
And if you must be spiritually deaf, blind, and dumb if you ain't seen it. That's happening, this message, universally now. As far as those that adhere to it, that's happened. They've taken something. And yeah, I've already heard it. I've heard ministers that have already said the gifts aren't no more. They're done. It's over. There's no gift spirits anymore. We're past that. How in the world do you listen to Messiah and come on to a conclusion like that? Let me show you. Can I read what the prophet had to say just about that right there, about the gifts in the Spirit? 56, Jesus Christ, and this is just tip of the iceberg now. I could have put another 20 on here easy. Jesus Christ, same yesterday and forever, 56. See, it's in the body of believers, and all nine spiritual gifts should be in every local body, operating and manifest the church.
Amen.
Jehovah Jireh, 56. And all nine spiritual gifts should be operating in every local body. Yeah, and there ought to be judges there and so forth, that the church is in order and working right.
Amen.
Stand still, 1957. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, all for the perfecting of the church. Is that right? It was set in the church. God didn't just teachers and evangelists. Did you hear me today?
Come on.
Isn't that what we think? Oh, just teacher or pastor. Maybe he's in there too, an evangelist. Oh, that's it. Where are the other two at? We're not a threefold either. We're not a onefold, just prophet. We're not a fourfold. There ain't no prophet. We just got the other four. It's a fivefold.
Amen.
He said apostles and prophets too, all the rest of it. Then in every local body, there's nine spiritual gifts should be operating by judges. And like I said, we'll get to all that here in a little bit and so forth. It should be absolutely speaking in tongues, interpretation in tongues, not a bunch of wildfire, but real, genuine Holy Spirit revelations is coming and telling us things that's happened right then. That happens right then. Not something that's just Jesus is coming soon. We believe that. It's wrote in the book. God doesn't use vain repetitions. He asks us not to do the same. But if something's definite or for somebody, for the church, for a purpose, what we need's about 3 months. Listen to what he has to say here. About 3 months in a tent setting out somewhere with some real apostolic teachings. Ministers every afternoon. Real apostolic teaching. What is apostolic teaching? Getting results that are supernatural.
Amen.
being taught what the Word has to say about sickness, about healing, about tongues, interpretation, when, how, and all these things. But look, here's the first problem: is not enough people born again.
Right.
Is that all right to say? There's not enough, you can't get enough born again people together because it's getting so loose anymore that people can say they're born again and they ain't never met God yet.
Amen.
Still walking in the things of the world, doing the things everybody else is doing, saying they're born again. You're deceived and you're lying to yourself.
Amen.
Unless there's a new life, and not just any life, but the literal life of God raising up out of your heart. Amen. You've never met Calvary. You've never been born again yet. And if you're not born again, there's no point in starting and looking at any of those things. That's what makes a mockery out of the church of God. People looking for gifts, looking for this little supernatural thing, and never actually met the God to give it.
Amen.
And what do they get? Some false thing. Why do we need a false thing when the whole sky is filled with the power of God? Hallelujah.
Amen.
That was 57. You say, well, Brother Andrew, all those were before the seals. Okay, I'll give you one. 63, sign of the end time. He also set the church apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. See, all that for the perfecting of the body. And in this body, every local body. And if we come anything short, it ain't God's fault. The message didn't fail. The word's not wrong. It's us.
Amen.
And I said us. I didn't say you. I didn't say me. I said us.
Amen.
If all nine spiritual gifts are not operating in us, there's something wrong with us somewhere. And it's not time to make a bunch of excuses. Or maybe I need to do a 20-part sermon on it. Then we need to believe that God said this.
Amen.
This wasn't Brother Branham's just thought about it. This is what God told him to tell us.
That's right. Amen.
I will send you Elijah the prophet. How many's put your name in there yet?
Yes, I have.
He sent him to me to tell me the truth. I don't care who you are. If it contradicts what he says, you're wrong. He's right.
Amen.
And in this body, every local body, he gave nine spiritual gifts, and those gifts are different kinds: wisdom, knowledge, speaking in tongues, gifts of healing, interpretation of tongues, so forth. Nine spiritual gifts. Look why he gives them to us. Listen. All to show his love towards the church. Why in the world don't we want him, then?
Why?
Somebody explain that to me. I've even heard him, I think it was Brother Alex, tell me about a man preaching one time. He's just real good, he's just really enjoying it, you know, about the power of God coming to church and things. But look, when Rebecca came to Isaac, she left the gifts at home. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not sure she had them.
Right.
And he said, Brother Alex was telling me anyway, he said, I'm baffled. What are we going to look for, supernatural, if it's not one of the nine spiritual gifts? What else is there besides, what, an angel visitation? You can have the devil show up as an angel.
Sure.
That doesn't mean anything. As far as, what's the Mormon, Joseph Smith? Could he have seen an angel? Absolutely. But he lied to him.
Right.
When the angel, remember the all the angels came up to God to, said, who's going to go down there and tell Ahab to go up to Ramoth Gilead and fall? He said, one of them, a lying spirit, was in there.
Sure.
He said, I'll go do it. I bet by the time he showed up to those prophets, he looked like an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Satan's a deceiver now. He ain't just evil. He's a deceiver.
Amen.
Big difference. He's just not black. He's black covered in white.
Amen.
Big difference, isn't it?
Right.
All to show his love for the church. Now let me keep reading here. See, that's what you want to stay, excuse me. See, that he wants you to stay in order, the great Holy Spirit himself being the tutor of the church. It's too bad we took a bishop instead of the Holy Spirit. Bishop's a pastor. It's one and the same. You don't point that on the Catholics. People do it in the message in Pentecost and all the way down all the time. Instead of listening for the Holy Spirit to say what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do, the bishop gets to tell us what to do.
Come on.
The pastor, the apostle, the prophet that we adhere to, whatever, he's the one that tells us. If it's not from the Word, if it's not from the Holy Spirit, it's not God.
Right.
That's it. When the apostles wanted to know to make a decision, you know what they did? They fasted and prayed, got together until they heard from the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Then they knew what to do.
Right.
You say, those apostles didn't just run up? No, they didn't. They wanted to know it was for God first. Now, the second God spoke, they didn't waste time sitting on their hands about it either. And look what he told them to do, separating Paul and Barnabas. This wasn't like us, where we can just move a couple miles away. You know, we still visit and think, no, they're gone. Everyone looking at Paul and Barnabas, this is probably the last time we're going to see these guys.
Right.
But the Holy Spirit told us, and we've learned to just obey him.
Amen.
And if we're really the bride of Christ, you know what? God's going to tell us to do hard things. You're it. You're the last part. Does everybody see that yet? When you look at that pyramid, there's just a little, I mean, if you would step back, you'd think it's done.
Yeah.
But see, God don't do it that way. He's precise.
Right.
He can zoom in on the top of that pyramid and see there's a couple little grains that's not come in just yet.
Right.
For this body of Christ. There's a few that ain't shaped up just right to be in there. They don't fit like they're supposed to just yet.
Why?
Because when it's all done, it's all done.
Right.
Yeah. No man got to come preach it and convince you and twist your mind and say, oh, yeah, we're in it now. We're in the millennium or it's all over. There's no more souls to be saved. No, when the rain started falling, that's when it was time.
Right.
That's when Noah knew, you're done. You don't got to preach another word because you're watching it happen. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. And when this thing is over, guess what will happen? We'll be watching. There goes Grandpa right there. Look, you might think that's a fairy tale, but I believe it. I look for it. I expect it.
Amen.
Anytime. Lord, help us to never get dull. Lord, help us to never be dull of hearing, dull of seeing, and letting the things of the world, the responsibilities of life, shadow all of that. We have no foundation here.
Nope.
We're leaving.
Amen.
Amen.
We're leaving.
That's true.
The Church of the Living God is not here to stay. He's here to leave so that God can just burn the thing off and make it the way it was supposed to be.
Amen.
Then we can come back.
Yeah.
Amen.
Aren't you glad he didn't want your feet to get dirty, Dick? 7 a.m, we got to walk on the ashes of the wicked. That's what the Bible says now. And after that, remember, the New Jerusalem comes down after all that. Mike, you just can't, your mind can't wrap around that. Remember, Brother Graham, just across the curtain of time, he said it's just sublime. So there's no word for it. He said, that's not even the millennium yet. That's not even the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is go that route. Not even the marriage supper yet. It's not even the millennium yet. And then after that, there's New Jerusalem.
Right.
A city 59 miles made for me. And my friend, my family, right? Because the real family of God will be there. There won't be anything else.
Right.
So we got, you know, we have our natural ties here, but when we get over there, that's all gone.
Amen.
Right.
We're all one.
Yeah.
As the Bible said, we're all one in the Spirit.
Right.
Let me just read that scripture real quick. It's out of... actually, it was a quote, but let me read this. It's Romans 4:12-4 says this, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another.
Amen.
Somebody took that home yet? Or you say, oh, we're just all here, we're all just one, and think there's like dividers between us all. But at least we're all in the same, but no, we're connected.
Amen.
That's it. You get unbelief, guess what? You're going to affect others.
Sure.
If you're part of the body now, can I go that route for a minute? The body ain't missing you. You might not be part of the body. Is that all right to say? It's the truth nonetheless. When an unbeliever, remember, as John said, they went from us because they weren't of us.
Right.
And that's going to happen. And it's happening all around us. You watch people fall away and everybody's, oh my, why is this all happening? Oh my. They weren't seen.
Right.
We need to step back and realize we're not the ones electing this thing.
Right.
He did.
Yeah. Amen.
And I understand it breaks your heart. I'm sure it broke Abel's heart when Cain walked away from it. I'm sure it did. I'm sure he just couldn't hardly bear with it. But guess what? He didn't have too long to think about it. They came and killed him.
Right.
Cain came and killed him. And it'll be the same for you and I. They would come and kill us. You understand? They would come and take out the bride because they can't take it no more. She's too holy for them.
Right.
She's too far in grace. They can't put a finger in their life anymore.
Right. Amen.
Can you do that, brother? In the blood you can.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to have to go a different route here and finish up. Let me finish that quote I was reading. Too bad, it's too bad. This is, again, sign of the end, or sign of the time, 63. It's too bad we took a bishop instead of the Holy Spirit to be our tutor. The Holy Spirit is the tutor that God gave to the church to raise the church, to bring it up in the admonition of God. So the Holy Spirit freely sets these gifts in the church, and they perfectly operate. If you just won't get excited and try to just take what you think yourself. Are you listening today? How many's listening?
Amen.
The gifts of God are given, and we think the gifts is like this. Like, I got this book here. This is my gift, and I need to use it. That's not how gifts work.
Nope.
A gift is something you are. It's something that was put in you. And the only way it can ever be used the way God intends is for God to use it.
Amen.
So you literally, as we've said, you have to separate your own thinking from it and let God say it. I've had to prophesy many things that I didn't want to, and new people would think it was me. Is that okay to say? I already had the thought. The devil's going to tell them that I'm saying this. Guess what? If God wants you to do something, just do it. Don't fear, man. Don't fear what they're going to say. Don't fear what they're going to do. Realize there's a God watching you to see if you are going to respect man or respect him.
Amen.
Don't ever respect me more than you respect God. Don't respect anyone else more than you respect God. God is always right. We are wrong.
Amen.
We make mistakes. We fall and fail. And we should just love each other nonetheless. Pray for one another. All those things. Stay close. Glued together. That's the time now. Let me read this. Listen carefully, please. And I'll try to wrap up here soon. I don't mean to keep you this long. Coming out of Christ's mystery, God revealed. Love one another. Above everything, love one another. No matter what the devil tries to say. Now, you're all one great, big, sweet group now. But remember my warning. See, Satan won't let that stay that way.
What?
No, sir. He'll shoot everything. If he has to bring someone in to make his target, he'll bring some critic or unbeliever in and sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness and things. Then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of a poison stuff and he'll start through the church with it. Don't take sides with it. Don't you have nothing to do with anything else. You stay right, loving and sweet and kind to one another. Pray for that man that he'll be saved too.
Amen.
Or that woman or whoever it is. Just pray for them and stick one with another and stay with your pastor. He's the shepherd. He'll give you, and you give him respects. He'll lead you through because he's ordained to do it, to do so. Now you remember that. The enemy will come.
Amen.
And when he does, just cling that much closer together. And the one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in.
Amen.
And be one of you. That's all. I'm not done. Listen. Don't never clan among one or talk and make yourself clannish. We are one.
Amen.
And I didn't just mean this local body. The body of Christ is one.
Amen.
Don't ever exalt this church and say, oh, we're just this and we're so great. And my, Brother Ray's and Brother Craig's and all these others, oh, they don't got nothing to do with it. You get on your knees and ask for forgiveness because you've left Christ.
Amen.
I want to make sure that sinks home. Don't you ever get that way. Don't you ever get that thought, because you'll destroy everything God does.
Amen.
Saying, are you sure? Let me read you what Brother Brim had to say about when you get that thought. I couldn't say, left hand, I'm mad at you. I'm going to take you away because you're not my right hand. He's my left hand. I want him to stay there. Every little tip of my finger, I want to stay right there. Every little part of my body, stay right there. And God wants us as a body of believers to stay right exactly with one another. Right at with one another. And now you've got tapes on that. You've got tapes on what we believe. You've got tapes on discipline in the church. And as I said, we'll get to that here as well in a later date. How we behave ourselves in the church of God. How we come here together and sit in heavenly places. Listen to me now. Don't stay home. If God is in your heart, how many's got God living in your heart?
Amen.
You can't hardly wait for those doors to open out yonder, to get in here to fellowship with your brothers. If you don't feel that way, then I tell you, it's time you got to praying. Because we're in the last days. You see, that changes everything if you really believe that expression. This is it.
Amen.
This is the last days. You say, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. What's more important than being in God's presence, knowing that the whole thing's going to shake and burn soon?
Come on.
Knowing that every soul that's not in Christ is going to die. Yeah, I understand that's hard to say, but it's the truth.
Amen.
This is the end time.
Amen.
And every day is one grain of sand gone in the time of God. Remember, time runs out. That's what the Bible said. Eventually it runs out. And then there's the 3.5 years, there's 1,000 years, millennium, and that's it.
Right.
No more. Because we're in the last days where the Bible exhorted us to much more as we see that day approaching, to love one another with Christian love and divine love, to assemble ourselves together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and love one another. This will all men know you're my disciples when you have love one to another. That's right. Stay right together. Listen now. If the brother, you think he's a little wrong, or the sister, say, Lord, don't let me ever have the root of bitterness spring up, because it'll affect him and it'll take the Christ right out of my life. That poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred, that will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It will run him from the tabernacle here. It'll kill the Spirit of God or drive it away from here, hurt your pastor. It'll do everything. See, don't you do that. You just wax that much closer together.
Amen.
Draw up, take the buckle, as the brother testified, a minister here the other night, about having the buckle, seeing the vision, the buckles on the whole armor of God. Just pull on tighter. Tighten up. Move right up close to one another. Love one another anyhow. Talk nice things about one another. Say nice things about one another. Then God will bless you.
Amen.
And that goes on both ends. If a man's a little wrong and the Lord moves on you to say something about it, you better know that you're walking in 100% divine love. That doesn't mean they receive it now. Listen to me. Listen to me. This is serious business. This is life and death stuff. This is stuff that has destroyed churches. This is stuff that has driven people away from the message. This has driven people throws away because of that principle being left out.
Amen.
What do most people want to do when they see somebody a little wrong? First, they entertain it. Don't take it to the Lord. They just entertain it.
Right.
Then anybody they come in contact except that person, they'll let them know about it. Just cut them down. Cut them down. Cut them down. Cut them down. What does that do? It don't hurt that man. It's hurting you.
Sure.
And most of the time, that man is so ignorant, he has no idea that you even have this in the first place. He can't do anything about it.
Right.
Does everybody hear me now? Maybe the Lord moved it on you because you are supposed to do it, not the other man.
Right.
Well, I was going to rebuke sisters, ain't it? If you really love me, you know what was wrong. Sorry, sis. Isn't that right? Sometimes we think, oh my gosh, just pour down and just let him know. Well, he had to go to work today. Maybe he ain't figured it out just yet. Why don't you go and tell him? Same with the Church of God. You say, my, why did they do that? Why did they do that? Just go talk to him about it. And not in some mean, cutting down, destroying kind of way. Love. Love. Look, brother, this thing looks like sin in your life, is it? Or do I have it wrong? And ministers the same way. You hear something preached wrong, look, it's all right to go to that man. Absolutely. And if you disagree with me, absolutely I want to know about it. I don't want you going on and thinking, oh my, Brother Andrew's lost it. He's heading way out here. Maybe you can help me.
Right.
And I say that as a minister? The laity could help me. Right. We're all part of the body here.
Amen. Amen.
What were the 9 spiritual gifts that come to do? And we, I could read the quote, Brother Greg said, keep church clean.
Yep.
Yeah. That includes your pastor.
Amen.
Can the Spirit of God move and say something that rebukes me? Absolutely. And as a Christian, I would hope that I have enough audacity to say, amen, Lord, I'm sorry. And you'd have enough audacity, forgive me, and we could move on and serve God.
Amen.
Do you see how this will all gel together if you just apply it?
Right.
You see a brother a little bit wrong. First, obviously, pray about it.
Amen.
Maybe the Lord will show you. Nope, you just didn't see it right. Let me show you from over this angle. Oh, now it makes sense. Or maybe it is wrong, and maybe you're the vessel that'll get it out of the church. Or maybe you can wait and God will expose it right here, as we just said, right through the gifts. And it'll leave. The point of it is to get us out of the picture that people can see. It's God saying this.
Amen.
Not that man. Can everybody see that? No, not always. There's been plenty of times I've told somebody, the Lord said this to you, and they put it on me. And there's nothing you can do.
Right.
It wasn't me. You can believe what you want to. That's fine, but when that thing comes to pass, you'll know it wasn't me that said that.
Right.
Before we close, let me bring it right back to home, what I was trying to get out this whole service, and we'll wrap it up. The day of Pentecost, as we just read that, why was it able to happen? Every single person was in one accord and in one place. And what's that place for us now? It's in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And what's the one accord that all our minds have the same goal?
Right.
We're not here to fuss and stew and think of, as we said, about all. We're here to worship Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're here to be led by the Spirit. We're here that God can be glorified in our lives as individuals and then collectively.
Amen.
That's why God, I believe he looked down and he was just so pleased. He was able to pour out the Holy Spirit upon him.
Yeah.
Remember, he had already said it was going to happen. He said, breathe on. He said, receive you the Holy Ghost. And I believe he was right there, just waiting for this moment.
Amen.
And then, And what did it do? It set a wildfire. And it spread each way. And I believe that's what the gospel has. And look, yeah, it had resistance. Yeah, people denied it. Yeah, people hated them and things. That comes with the package.
Okay.
If you want to just float along, well, you're in the wrong church. Go join a denomination. You can just float along, feel good, come to your little soup suppers and have your little ice cream socials. And oh, Jesus forgives us, and just let Satan rock you right down off the cliff. God didn't send a message for us to do that. He sent it to deliver us.
Amen.
What was the number one thing the message came to take out of the church was Nicolaitanism,
right.
Denominationalism. The laity and the ministry being separated from one another, and God's nowhere to be found. That's what the message came to drive out of the church.
Yeah.
And Paul already preached it. Let me read one more quote, and then I'll quit on this. It's coming out of the Sardesian church age. Paul was the first messenger, and he said in Galatians 1:8 that if an angel, any messenger, any vicar, no matter what he was, if he preached any other gospel than what Paul preached, let him be accursed. How many believes that today?
Amen.
That includes Brother Branham.
Yeah.
Everybody hear me? That's, again, we've already talked about the vision time and time again. That's what the church was resting on, that Brother Branham had the exact same revelation Paul did.
Sure.
For his day. Absolutely. Paul knew that after he was gone, grievous wolves would come in. He knew that Satan himself could appear as an angel of light, so much more, how much more his ministers. So he warns that this gospel would always be the same. If you read the Church Age book, that's what Brother Branham said was the keystone for the whole book, was that Jesus, God cannot change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you can hold that, your revelations won't go off.
Amen.
They'll hit right on. Because he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He does it the same way every time.
Right.
Hallelujah. Now he warns that this gospel would always be the same. Now Paul had baptized in Jesus' name. How many believes that today?
Amen.
The only way to be baptized is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely. And rebaptized where people had not been so immersed, he set the church in order and taught the proper use of the gifts of the Spirit. Listen to this. And confirmed that they were to remain in the church till Jesus came.
Amen.
We either believe it or we don't.
Sure.
What is the Lord trying to get across to you and God? I think it boils down to one thing. This is it. It's not time. We said, pitchfork your religion to others. Oh, it's them, it's them, it's them. No, it's time to say, Lord, am I doing something wrong? All at the same time, Lord, am I doing what I should? Am I being led of the Spirit all the time? Saying just to go make some breakfast, you might have to intercede for someone. Wasn't Brother Connor, I think it was Wednesday, he talked about Brother Rain was trying to go to a meeting to preach. And any of us would have reached and said, yeah, keep going. You got to preach. That's the gospel. That's, he said, no, I can't do nothing now. No, he just went, and that thing just went and sat down. And the Lord began to speak through him.
Right.
To where he didn't even know what was going on. Because it was even in German or something, I think. And some lady did intercede for him and was fine.
Amen.
You saying that can still happen? Is he the same God or not? Do you have the cornerstone, the keystone to the whole gospel that he doesn't change? Then maybe it's you sitting there washing the dishes and all of a sudden something stops. Just pray for Brother so-and-so. Pray for your neighbor that you don't even know his name, but something's going to happen.
Sure.
You feel his presence come near when you start talking like that. Because he wants you to believe it so bad. If we could only step back and see all the supernatural God or supernatural things God wants to do through you, we'd say, Lord, have mercy on me. Take away my unbelief, because this gospel packs the literal power, life, and essence of God himself.
Amen.
Stand together today. We said that was a little bit longer, but I hope. Let's bow our heads together. And don't lose the effects. Again, as we've talked over and over and over and over again, this is between you and Jesus Christ. What do you have need of today? Are you an active laity member, or are you waiting on somebody else to do something about the gospel? Are you being used of God to the full capabilities that God has for you? And if not, all you got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. All you got to say is, once more, Lord, a sanctuary. Once more, let the power of God that I've seen work time and time again, may it rest upon me one more time. Is there any here that would want to confess to God, say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I know I've sat around. I know I've just waited for something else to happen, and it's not. It's you waiting on me, Lord. I'm sorry. I ain't trying to make you condemned. I'm just trying to make you be honest with yourself. Just talk it over with him. Don't wait on something else, as we said. Just talk to him about it. Like Colin was saying Wednesday, just be real with God. Don't come up with some fancy prayer. You got to say hallelujah a certain way or amen. Just pray to him like you would if you're talking to your brother, because he sticks even closer than that brother does. And if you have a need in your heart, realize he already knows it's in there. All he's waiting for you is to say it. He's already probably orchestrated the whole situation. All it's waiting on for you to say what the Word had to say about it. Is it healing? Is it salvation? Is there a doubt in your mind that you're even saved in the first place? If there's a doubt, look, you don't have to leave here with it. You can leave assured, sealed, sanctified. You're going to be there. And on top of that, maybe you know that, but you've got doubts about family. You've got doubts about friends. You've got doubts about things that you know God has moved on you to put the token on that person and say he's trying to take it back from you. Don't let him do it. You've got the authority. You've got the power to stand between the world and God. Listen. Hallelujah. Is there any with a need of healing tonight in this presence? Physical, spiritual, mental, I don't care. Raise that to the Lord now. And realize that you're not raising your hand to me. You're not raising your hand. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's worried about that. Jesus Christ wants to know what your needs are. He already knows. He wants you to say it so he can respond. Hallelujah. You're the active laity now. Let him do with you as he pleases this afternoon. Maybe it's just that little step of faith today. Say, Lord, I'm just going to praise you with all my heart. I'm really just not going to think about anything today except you. And that'll move mountains, church. I'll tell you that right now. Lord, I want to love you with everything that's within me. I want to praise you and worship you for all eternity. And I want to get started right now. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Bring your needs before the Lord and pray with all your heart as well. Heavenly Father, oh, how we appreciate you, Jesus. We're so glad that you're our loving God. We're so glad that you're not like Zeus or all these other things where if man does something wrong, you just wipe him right off the earth. But Lord, you came down. You became me, Lord. You took my place. When I should have died, Lord, I deserve to go to that cross and be crucified for all the nonsense I've done in my life. Lord, I'm so happy to know that you took my place.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
You said, it's finished. I don't have to go, Lord. I'm so happy to be a Christian today, just to know that. And I'm so happy that you sent us this message, Lord, to show us what it was really all about in the first place. That before we got here, before we fell, before we did one thing wrong, you loved us anyhow. You put something in us. It was your own life. We didn't ask for it. We didn't ask to be born sons and daughters of God, but we are so grateful that we are. Thank you so much for this, Lord. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Oh, we praise you and thank you for that, Lord. I pray that each person that's here, under the sound of this voice, would know that it's you speaking today. And Lord, even if it does cut and hurts and things of that, may they just say, Lord, amen. Amen anyhow. If there's any evil in my heart, Lord, take it away from me in Jesus' name. Lord, we're totally helpless without you. And we begin to realize that you want it that way, Lord. You want us just to trust you and to put our complete 100% faith right in you and what you've done for us. and the grace you've extended to us. I pray if there's one person here who hasn't received the revelation of grace in their life, they haven't seen the atonement that was given for them, and they still think they're lost or have to work something up to get saved, may they be able to, in faith, raise up and see their election in God. And may you witness it back, Lord, by letting them receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That from this day forward, there'd be a new life spring up. And not any life, but your life. Grant each one that's here today. For the Christian that has been sealed with the Holy Ghost, and I believe I'm in the audience of some, Lord, for sure. I pray that the Spirit, we said earlier, would just come and once more just quicken us. Let that power just raise in our hearts to fight another day. To not be afraid of the enemy. To not worry about sin and shame. To know that it was all put in the blood. And that, Lord, we need to be active for you. We need to be a vessel for you to work through, Lord. Because our heart's desire is to see you glorified. And there's no other way for it to be but through your children. Help us, Lord, to take this responsibility to heart. That we need to stay in heavenly places. That we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to come to church when we came. We need to pray before service to make sure everything else in life has faded away. And that we can be led up by the Spirit. Lord, I pray that the gifts that's in the people, Lord. By election, we know that gifts and callings were given without repentance. But Lord, we want them to hit right. And that's why we repented of our sins. We've been washed in the blood. We want the Holy Spirit to anoint each operation that's in this building. That when the outsider would come, even that man that we read about earlier, that might be poisoned by Satan to try to destroy the church of the living God, that there'd be such an unction of love, such an unction of the Spirit in this body here, that they'd either come in and be saved or be driven out. Lord, we don't want sin to be comfortable in our members or make us uncomfortable when sin ever gets near us. Lord, we don't want it to affect us at all. We want to dwell in your presence. Lord, thank you for giving us ears to hear. And thank you, Lord, so much for speaking time and time again. How we're happy today to know that you spoke to us even this afternoon. Now, when we go from here, if we'll just be quiet and listen, you're telling us all kinds of sweet love stories. Time where we almost got in that wreck. And you turned the car the other way. The time where we could have just took one more drink and it would have been over. Just one more smoke and your heart would have exploded. We're so happy, Lord, you didn't let us do that. We love you today, Lord. Just forgive us, Lord, for loving anything else besides you. We reckon ourselves dead today and just renewed in the Spirit of God. Oh, how we thank you for your presence being here, Lord. And I pray as the people begin to worship and love on you, and that the Spirit of God would come and deliver us from all evil, Lord. Lord, if you've given us something to bear for the gospel's sake, may we know today that it's for the gospel's sake and that we're not being punished, but you love us. And you're molding us and you're making us, Lord. And that's the only place we want to be, is right in your hands, Lord. I pray you just shed all the unbelief out of this church. May each one be an active part of the body of Christ. And may you be able to excel them more and more and more. Even when we realize we have gifts, Lord, we pray that you'd be able to use it better and more. And just receive more glory, more healing, more power. That everybody would know that Jesus Christ lives today. Grant to each one, be with the housewife, be with the little child, be with the husband on the job, be with each family, I pray, that, Lord, we reestablish that altar in our houses, that, Lord, we wouldn't build these monuments to sports and to lust and all these other things of the world, but, Lord, we'd build them to you, that, Lord, we just hurry up to get the other things done in our lives, that we can go back to our prayer closet and love on you some more. Help us, Lord, to realize the reality of your presence. Help us to teach us as parents. Help us to teach our children that you are a living God. That, Lord, even if they would try to go astray, they still would have to say, I know that there's a true God because I saw him in my parents. And I can't doubt it. I saw the angel of the Lord walk through the house. I can't say there's not a God. I saw the pillar of fire over Mom when she was in the room praying. God, help us. Help us, Lord, to believe it with all our hearts. I pray that all this doubt, all this reasoning that we allowed to come into our mind, it just fall off in the name of Jesus Christ. And we would see ourselves in the mirror of your word as sons and daughters of God. Not chosen for any age, but chosen for the end time. That when there was so much darkness you couldn't see the light, there was still a little light flicker and it was us. Help each one to believe that today, that you elected them and called them. Help each person. I don't know all their needs, but I know that you do. And I pray that today they wouldn't leave with one need still on their heart, but that you'd give them the assurance of faith to know that you heard them today. Grant each one, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask you. Hey, if you want a need of prayer, you want to come and have someone pray with you, I'd be happy to do that. But I feel to just stay in this presence. My, I just feel him raising up and up and up. Don't let the carnal mind come in, church. This is the presence of God right around us. Make him your guest of honor today. Make him the focal point of your worship and life. And as we sing, just know that he inhabits that praise and give him all your heart. Let's sing this song together that Dad's singing. Thank you, Jesus.
Every knee shall bow.
Oh, just worship and praise him now. Isn't he worthy today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
For he is Lord.
Just praise and thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We just love and adore you today, Father. Thank you for all your love and mercy to me, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for giving me time in and time out. Thank you for being with me every day of my life. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to walk alone. That you're just right there in my heart, Lord. That blood continues to wash and purify. You need to chip off by the Spirit all the wicked things that I have, Lord. Just let the flesh die, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for being with me every step of the way. Oh,
Emmanuel.
Thank you, Lord God. Oh, just thank and praise Him now. Praise His name. Each one we love.